It's a name that everyone should remember. Darryl Brooks Jr., a career criminal, was taken into custody following the deadly incident during the Christmas parade Sunday in Wisconsin. Why should you remember his name? Not just because what he did on Sunday, but for the fact that he should have never been on the streets to be able to do what he did on Sunday. But don't worry. The media is going to protect him. The White House even protecting him. Why? Because he's a Black Lives Matter dude. Yeah. He's a Black Lives Matter activist who was getting revenge, possibly from the Rittenhouse trial. He's a BLM guy, and we got to make sure that we don't know his name and no one talks about it. We just make this all go away. Now, in a minute, I'm going to tell you about this Wisconsin district attorney who once championed the policy to not put black men in jail for crimes that they commit. He was like big woke guy. And he's been doing this since 2015 when he was paraded around by the left as being a guy who's changing the way we're doing things in America. We're purposely not incarcerating people because of the color of their skin. How did that work out? Yeah, I think we all know now. I'm going to tell you about him in a moment. Make sure you share this podcast, okay? Because people need to hear about this DA and this woke DA. And again, hit the share button, hit that little forward button. Share this with your friends in text message or on social media. Post it right now. Now, how is he out on bail? It's a question that a lot of people are asking, especially when he's got a rap sheet as long as his, and it is lengthy. He killed people because we allowed him to. He killed people because of woke district attorneys who are in favor of just letting people out as soon as they commit heinous crimes. You want to know how bad the crimes were? Take a listen.
Talked about Darryl E. Brooks. He is the suspect that is now facing five counts of intentional homicide with that vehicle in Waukesha. You see Professor Jonathan Turley there. I just want to point this out very quickly. We have just confirmed that he was out of jail after apparently deliberately trying to run down the mother of his child. And the report says, quoting here, EAP, an acronym to talk about the victim, the alleged victim, refused to get into the vehicle, and Brooks intentionally and without consent struck EAP in the face with a closed fist. EAP walked away from Brooks. EAP reported that Brooks then intentionally and without consent ran EAP over with his vehicle while EAP was walking through the parking lot of a BP gas station. That's the man right there, Darryl E. Brooks, who mowed down dozens of people in Waukesha, Wisconsin yesterday, allegedly.
Now, this is a BLM guy. This is a hardcore leftist activist. The media cannot let this become a story. The media can't tell you the truth that this guy should have never been out of jail. The media cannot tell you all this because it would be too damning for them. Now, remember the president of the United States of America, a guy by the name of Joe Biden, he had no problem at all attacking Kyle Rittenhouse, saying he's a white supremacist so he could help get elected, saying, look at this guy. This guy over here, Rittenhouse, he supports Trump. How do I know? I don't know. We just made it up. He's a white supremacist. How do we know? I don't know. I just made it up. Because we want to convict him of being the worst person in the world. Because then it will imply that anyone that supports Donald Trump is just like him, and that's who you're supporting, so we can win an election. There was no let's step back and get all the facts and all the details before we indicted Rittenhouse, a 17-year-old who did nothing wrong. White House playing it very different in this Wisconsin tragedy, a mass casualty event. Joe Biden at the White House.
Before I begin, I want to comment on the tragedy that occurred last night during the holiday parade in Wisconsin.
By the way, I love how we changed it from a Christmas parade to a holiday parade. So we got a holiday parade. Hey, what's the holiday? Christmas? Okay, then call it a damn Christmas parade. Nope, can't do that. We got to be woke. We're going to call it a holiday parade.
Well, we don't have all the facts and details yet. We know this morning that five families in Waukesha are facing fresh grief of a life without a loved one. At least 40 Americans are suffering from injuries, some of them in critical condition. And an entire community is struggling to cope with the horrific act of violence. Last night, the people of Waukesha were gathered to celebrate the start of a season of hope and togetherness and Thanksgiving. This morning, Jill and I and the entire Biden family, and I'm sure all of us, pray that that same spirit's going to embrace and lift up all the victims of this tragedy, bringing comfort to those recovering from the injuries, and wrapping the families of those who died in the support of their community. We're all grateful for the extraordinary work of the first responders, from law enforcement to the emergency room doctors, who are working round the clock to deal with the terrible consequences of what happened last night. My administration is monitoring the situation very closely.
So we don't have all the facts, the details yet. We're going to tread lightly on this, but we do want to make a comment here. Now, the Waukesha, Wisconsin police chief, he also came out. Hold him back. Everybody calm down. Okay, this isn't a terrorist act, even if the guy claims it is. Because he's a black guy that's a BLM guy, and I'm a black police chief, and I'm woke. And even if this guy tells you he went to a white parade, some have described it on the BLM side of the movement on social media as a white parade. I'm going to tell you, everybody, chill out for a second.
I just received information that two of the 48 are children, and they're in critical condition. We have information that the suspect prior to the incident was involved in a domestic disturbance, which was just minutes prior. And the suspect left that scene just prior to our arrival to that domestic disturbance. When the suspect was driving through into the crowd, one officer did discharge his firearm and fire shots at the suspect to stop the threat, but due to the amount of people, had to stop did not fire any other additional shots. The officer is on administrative leave as part of the department protocol. No one was injured as a result of the officer firing his firearm. The subject was taken into custody a short distance from the scene, and we are confident he acted alone. There's no evidence that this is a terrorist incident. Due to the wind yesterday...
Hold on. There's no evidence there's this a terrorist incident. If a guy targets people at a holiday parade, how can you immediately say within moments there's no evidence it's a terrorist incident? Could he be a domestic terrorist? Could he be a racist who decided to act like a terrorist? What's the definition of terrorist now? Because you guys said Rittenhouse was a terrorist. You said he was a white supremacist terrorist, a domestic terrorist, an anarchist, a vigilante. Man, aren't we calming down on this guy? How bad is this guy? This criminal record, as one person described on TV, literally looks like the menu at the Cheesecake Factory. That's how long this dude's record was, his rap sheet.
As you listen to some of the details here about this suspect, what stands out to you?
Well, I went through his record, and boy, is that troubling. I mean, we're talking about 45 to 50 pages, and I read...
45 to 50 pages is what this guy has on his rap sheet. And how much did it cost him to get out of jail? Virtually nothing. Milwaukee County DA office, which is also a woke DA, said, quote, "The state's bail recommendation in this case was inappropriately low in light of the nature of the recent charges." Hold on. So you're now saying the state's bail recommendation in the case was inappropriately due to what he did in the future, not on the 40 or 50 pages of data you had in the past? That's how woke they are in Wisconsin, the Milwaukee District Attorney's office. The DA, again, listen, this is their exact words in their statement. "The state's bail recommendation in this case was inappropriately low in light of the nature of the recent charges." You had 40 to 50 pages of data on this guy. He just tried to run over the mother of his child with the same damn car. You guys let him out. And now you're saying we got it wrong because of what he did after that? You're telling me the 40 to 50 pages plus trying to run over? His own child's mother wasn't enough to keep him in jail?
Every single line. You know, this guy's got it all. I mean, we're talking about felonies and misdemeanors, crimes of violence, drugs, crimes involving moral turpitude. You know, his record reminds me of the menu over at the Cheesecake Factory. I mean, it's extensive and everything's in there. But Martha, I'm not jumping on the bandwagon just yet that any particular prosecutor or judge failed in their duty to keep him in. It looks like he did his time for each of the crimes, and I'm not yet jumping on that bandwagon yet.
Well, the DA came out later and said, just kidding, jump on the bandwagon. Right? Jump on the bandwagon. Now, I appreciate this attorney saying, I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon yet, because guess what? He's treating this case the way that you treat a suspect before you try to indict them like they did with Rittenhouse. Notice how everybody now is being calm because this guy's a BLM guy, right? He's one of the chosen ones of the left. Now, the Democrat who used the Rittenhouse trial to mock the Waukesha parade tragedy also has been forced to resign. Yeah, I'll give you the details on that in just a moment, because that plays into this all over this whole thing. And AOC, this is hilarious. She's now promoting bail reform. One day after the Waukesha Christmas parade massacre, the open socialist AOC promoted bail reform efforts just one day after the Waukesha, Wisconsin Christmas parade, where the suspect, Darrell E. Brooks Jr., who has an extensive 40 to 50 page criminal record, was released on $1,000, had a $1,000 bond days prior to when he allegedly plowed an SUV into the crowd of people. In a tweet Monday morning, AOC, doubling down, shared a letter that she penned with Representative Caroline Maloney, Representative Jamie Raskin, asking New York City's five district attorneys for information on, quote, excessive bail in the New York City court system, particularly for low-income defendants, because they think when you do crimes, you should immediately get out right away. You want to know some of the things on his record that we just apparently overlook now in society, as long as you are a darling of the liberal left and the liberal left DAs? I'll give you one example of this guy's 40 to 50 page rap sheet. What's in it? The Wisconsin parade massacre suspect was convicted for impregnating a teen girl. No big deal here, right? Yeah, the suspect said to be charged with killing at least five Americans and injuring 48 others during that Christmas parade is also a registered sex offender in the state of Nevada, records reveal. Darrell E. Brooks Jr. has been arrested and is expected to be charged with five counts of first-degree intentional homicide, but he's not a terrorist, okay? We've already declared that at the first press conference afterwards. Right? No. Everybody calm down. This guy can't be a terrorist. He just plowed through a crowd of people after another domestic assault beforehand, apparently. But no, it's all good. Records out of Nevada reveal that Brooks had been a Tier 2 registered sex offender since November of 06 when he was convicted of statutory sexual seduction. The conviction indicates that Brooks had sexual intercourse and as well as multiple other types of intercourse with a person. All of the things on the list, throw it in there. With a 14 or 15-year-old who was at least 4 years younger than him at the time. The county sheriff's office in Nevada confirmed that they have an active warrant out on Brooks for his noncompliance with sex offender laws. So we let him out on bail after he tried to run over his baby's mother so he could then run out and run over a bunch of other people? Got it. This is what woke liberalism looks like when you actually implement it and you have a woke DA that is allowed for this to happen in Wisconsin. According to the sheriff's office, Brooks impregnated a 15-year-old girl and was sentenced to probation. Again, another woke liberal out there saying, oh yeah, you knocked up and did a bunch of things for 14, 15-year-old. No problem, we'll give you probation. And then you're a level 2 sex offender. Brooks was then subsequently arrested for not complying with sex offender laws in 2016, 10 years later, but skipped out on his bail in that case and did not appear in the Nevada criminal court. But hey, you catch him, let's not send him back to Nevada because we're woke, he's a BLM guy, and we'll let him go. Brooks has an extensive criminal history on top of what I just read for you. Weeks ago, for instance, Brooks was arrested in Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, for allegedly running over a woman in a gas station parking lot following a fight that the two had. That woman is the mother of his child. Days later, because the woke judge and the reform that AOC and other Democrats have been promoting, they refer to it as bail reform because they say it's unfair to lock up black men when they commit heinous crimes because we've gone woke in America. We woke, folks. We woke. We find out now that they let him go on $1,000 bail. $1,000. Nothing to see here, folks. This guy's just being he's just got the right skin color. White guy does this, totally different scenario. Brooks' criminal record dates back to 1999, according to police. Then Brooks was convicted of his first felony for aggravated battery. He was sentenced to 3 years probation. Again, let's not lock guys up when they commit heinous crimes if they are the right skin color. From 2002 to 2020, In addition to rape convictions, Brooks has been convicted on felony drug charges, convicted for obstructing an officer, charged with reckless endangerment, charged with having a firearm as a felon, pleaded no contest for allegedly strangling a woman, pleaded guilty to drug and bail jumping charges, pleaded guilty to resisting arrest, and pleaded guilty to felony drug charges. So he tries to run over a woman in a parking lot, and because we want bail reform, we let him go for $1,000 after he ran over a woman. Brooks will now face multiple mandatory life sentences if convicted of his newest charges, and I'm sure they'll convict him. But this guy should have never been on the streets to be able to even do this in the first place. But don't worry, he's not a terrorist. Everybody stop, calm down. Not a terrorist, folks, not a terrorist. Don't jump to conclusions, as the president said. Everybody calm down. We don't know all the facts yet. We're not sure exactly what's going on with this guy. We're going to hold our judgment. Kyle Rittenhouse, white supremacist, murderer, anarchist. What else was he? Trump supporter, MAGA guy, vigilante. Fine, though. This guy, everybody slow down. Not a terrorist. Biden, we don't have all the facts and details yet. We do know the Waukesha Police Department said the driver was in another domestic dispute before plowing into the holiday parade, killing all these people. Oops, our bad. He tried to run down the mother of his child, struck her with a car, same car he ran these people over with. Oops, my bad. I'm not laughing. I don't know what else to do but to roll my eyes in disgust. We have two very different justice systems right now in this country. We have men like this, African-American men, that can have a 40 to 50 page history of convictions, and we let him out for $1,000. You think a white guy could get away with that? No. We put Rittenhouse in jail for 80 plus days with no running water. Didn't allow him to take a shower for over a month. Wow. But hey, everybody calm down. Let's not move through this too quickly. Let's everybody dial it back. Milwaukee DA announces internal review of Daryl Brooks' bail recommendation. Apparently, this is all you're going to get. Milwaukee prosecutors say we're conducting, quote, an internal review into their own office's decision to make an inappropriately low bail recommendation for Daryl Brooks Jr., the man now being charged with plowing his SUV through that crowd at that Christmas parade. Now, here's the part people need to understand. If Daryl Brooks has gotten out, who else is out right now that should have never been let go for $1,000 or $500? I mean, Brooks has multiple pending cases in Milwaukee County alone, including a 2020 case involving two counts of second-degree reckless endangerment and being a felon in possession of a firearm, and we let him out. According to the spokesman for the Milwaukee District Attorney, John Chisholm, bail was originally set at $10,000, later reduced to $7,500, the district attorney's office said. Why? Because the guy was black, and we got bail reform for African-Americans, because that's what you do now when you're BLM and woke. Due to a court scheduling conflict that would have deprived Brooks of his right to a speedy trial, his bail was again reduced, they said, to this time to just $500, which was posted on February 21st. So $500 when you're trying to kill people, run them over. No big deal. Earlier this month, the Milwaukee authorities charged Brooks with another reckless endangerment and let him out again. Felony bail jumping battery, obstructing an officer and disorderly conduct. He allegedly ran a woman over with what may have been the exact same SUV that wreaked havoc at the Christmas parade. He was released this time on $1,000 cash bail. Quote, the state's bail recommendation in this case was inappropriately low in light of the nature of the recent charges. So we only got it wrong because he went out and killed a whole lot of people. But if we wouldn't have done that, we got it right. The bail recommendation in this case is not consistent with the approach of the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office towards matter involving violent crime, nor was it consistent with the risk assessment of the defendant prior to setting the bail. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that every single journalist should look at how many people are out on bail right now with similar charges, because I promise you, this is my gut, but mark me, and I will apologize if I'm wrong, but I guarantee you this isn't the only oops out there right now walking around among us, because we've gone woke with everything in this country. You're African-American man, we're not putting you in jail. Try to run over another woman, we don't care. We got woke. We need bail reform, not prison reform, bail reform. Hell, we shouldn't. We're arguing now that people shouldn't even go to jail no matter what they've done. Even if they try to run over your baby mama. Even if they got an illegal gun as a felon. Doesn't matter. Let them out. We got woke. All right, let's talk about how woke the people that have been elected have gotten within the Democratic Party. Let's look at the Democratic district attorney who once championed jailbreak policies. So the Milwaukee district attorney, John Chisholm, a Democrat, the guy who's like, oh, on this case, yeah, we got it wrong, right? This liberal DA saying we got it wrong only because of what he did in the future, not because of his rap sheet in the past, but in the future. We shouldn't have let him out on $500. We shouldn't have let him out on $1,000. Okay? All right, let's see who this guy actually is. He was championed by progressives as a leader on, quote, criminal justice reform before a court commissioner released a suspect now accused of killing five Americans and injuring 48 others during that Christmas parade. On Sunday, police alleged a 39-year-old mowed down a crowd at the annual Christmas parade, killing, as I said earlier, five. That number, we hope, doesn't go up, but it may. We know that Brooks has an extensive criminal history, totaling at least 16 arrests since 1999, and has been repeatedly released by police custody on bail. In the latest case, as you know, earlier this month, Brooks was charged with second-degree reckless endangerment, endangering safety, felony bail jumping, battering, obstructing an officer, and disorderly conduct. The woman claimed that Brooks mowed her down with his vehicle in a gas station parking lot after the two got into a domestic dispute. For the charges, the Milwaukee County Commissioner set Brooks' bail at $1,000. He posted the bail and was released from police custody. Soon after Brooks' arrest, Chisholm's office released a statement calling the $1,000 bail inappropriately low because of his conduct now. Not in the past, but now. The case, however, is seemingly in line with the district attorney Chisholm's record as a progressive former prosecutor who has been championed in the past for his work on so-called criminal justice reform efforts to release, quote, more inmates from prison and reduce incarceration rates overall. In 2015, Jeffrey Toobin, the guy at CNN that got fired for, if you got kids in the car, earmuffs, masturbating on a Zoom call with colleagues at a newspaper, profiled this district attorney's work as a, quote, national leader on criminal justice reform for the New Yorker in a piece titled The Milwaukee Experiment, What Can One Prosecutor Do About Mass Incarceration of African Americans? That should tell you everything you need to know. Since 2015, this guy has been purposely letting specifically African Americans out of jail and not putting them in jail altogether. Jeffrey Toobin, the guy who likes to have fun on Zoom, who's still a CNN legal analyst, wrote for The New Yorker, the same place where he was pleasuring himself on camera. Quote, Chisholm decided that his office would undertake initiatives to try to send fewer people to prison while maintaining public safety. Had that work out for you guys there in Wisconsin. Quote, for a long time, prosecutors have defined themselves through conviction rates and winning the big cases with the big sentences. Nicholas Turner, the president of the Vera Institute, told me, but the evidence is certainly tipping that the attainment of safety and justice requires more than just putting people in prison for a long time. Prosecutors have to redefine their proper role in a new era. It's the woke era. And this was written about this prosecutor, this DA, back in 2015. Chisholm, quote, stuck his neck out there and started saying that prosecutors should also be judged by their success in reducing mass incarceration and achieving racial equality. So if you're black, you get out. You're white, you go to jail. That's what this means. We're going to give people bail based on their race and give people sentences based on their race. So you commit a heinous crime just like this guy did over and over and over again, and you're black, you're out. But I promise you, if you're a white dude, not happening. Chisholm's efforts have drawn attention around the country. The article from 2015 says, John is a national leader in law enforcement because he is genuinely interested in trying to achieve the right results, not only in individual cases, but in larger policy issues as well. That's what Cyrus Vann Jr., the Manhattan District Attorney, said for the New Yorker piece. Quote, Chisholm decided to move what he calls an evidence-driven public health model. What's the most effective way to keep a community healthy? Chisholm said, you protect people in the first place. But then what do you do with the people who are arrested? There are two basic models of prosecutorial philosophy. In one, you are a case processor. He said, you take what is brought to you by law enforcement agencies and you move those cases fairly and efficiently through the system. But if you want to make a difference, you have to do more than just process cases, he goes on to say. So the woke DA who allowed this to happen in Wisconsin began stationing prosecutors in neighborhoods around Milwaukee. If people view prosecutors as just the guys in the courthouse who are concerned only with getting convictions, then you are creating a barrier. He and his team started asking themselves in every instance what they were bringing with the case. In every instance, why they are bringing that case. Apparently a 40 to 50 page rap sheet isn't exactly what you got to ask this question, right? Like, why? Right? This is a holistic approach to fighting crime. Why are we bringing this case? That's the question he said all of his prosecutors needed to ask. And those that were seen as minor, it was the least experienced people who were deciding whether to bring them. And these people saw that we had generally brought those cases in the past, so they went ahead and with them again. But we started to ask, why are we charging these people with crimes at all? So people commit crimes, and they're not that big of a crime. So now they've decided that why would we charge these people with crimes, even though they committed a crime, because a crime really isn't that big. We started to ask, this is wokeism. We started to ask, why are we charging these people with crimes at all? At the time of the profile, Chisholm's office bragged that Milwaukee County was mostly the reason for the state's drop in its prison population. 2007, Wisconsin's prison population totaled about 24,500 inmates. By 2015, that had been reduced to about 22,000, almost exclusively thanks to Milwaukee County and Chisholm and the DA's office, the New Yorker reported with excitement. In similar statements made in 2015, Chisholm suggested that more policing and more criminal convictions were not a solution to reducing overall crime rates. Why don't you go ask that to the 50 people run over and the five that are dead and their families? Again, Chisholm, this is the guy who allowed this dude who killed everybody in this parade to get out on a $500 bail after he ran over his wife, after having a 40, 50 page rap sheet and convicted of multiple felonies, including impregnating a young girl, being a registered sex offender. Chisholm suggested that, quote, more policing and more criminal convictions were not a solution to reducing overall crime rates. We have to get away from the concept that all the problems that exist in the community can somehow be funneled into the criminal justice system, and that system will solve all the problems, Chisholm said at an event with criminal justice reform advocates. It just doesn't work. It just hasn't worked, he said. I'm concentrating in concentrated areas of our community. For 20 to 30 years now, we've gotten the same bad results. So good results are massacres at Christmas parades. We're not going to solve the problem by sending more cops and charging more cases, he ended. So this is the dude that allowed this to happen. And now you understand why the White House, who's in favor of prison reform and bail reform, is saying, everybody calm down, we don't know all the facts yet. It's why the media is saying, everybody calm down, we don't know all the facts yet. Everybody relax, everybody back up. Everybody calm down, we don't know all the facts yet. Rittenhouse, white guy, burn him. Throw him in jail. Throw away the key. Kill him. Put a bounty on his head. Call him a domestic terrorist, white supremacist. Joe Biden did that, by the way. Called him a white supremacist to win an election. This is where we are, folks. This is what happens when you try this god-awful experiment of woke justice. It doesn't work, and people die. And there's proof of it in this case and many others. But if you're white, it's open season on you, because we got woke in this country. Innocent. That is what Kyle Rittenhouse is. innocent. But the left is refusing to accept that he is innocent, including the president of the United States of America. Why is it that even Joe Biden refuses to accept that Kyle Rittenhouse is innocent after being cleared of all charges? Self-defense, by the way, is not illegal in America, but they sure are acting like it. And why is it that they're continuing to come after him? When all this happened, he was 17 years old. Now, he has done an exclusive sit-down with Tucker Carlson. It will air 8 o'clock Eastern Monday night. Not only that, but behind the scenes, Tucker Carlson has been doing a documentary on the entire trial with exclusive conversations and video with Rittenhouse, his family, and defense team. The media is freaking out over that, too. Why? Because how dare a conservative network or a conservative individual get the sit-down with Rittenhouse? By the way, if you want to know why anyone that goes through anything close to this is going to pick to choose someone like a Tucker Carlson, it's because they saw what happened when Nick Sandman did his sit-down interview with the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie, and it was disgusting. It wasn't journalism. It was horrific. It was pure evil. I have not watched the Today Show since that interview happened because it was pure evil to watch a mother, by the way, do what she tried to do to Nick Sandman, indicting him as acting like he was the instigator, acting like he was trying to harass an older man. Now, Nick Sandman and Kyle Rittenhouse both have something in common. In fact, they both spoken to each other from what we understand. Nick Sandman said, tweeted out that he was in good spirits when he spoke to Rittenhouse. And Rittenhouse is a man now that people are threatening to kill all over the country, including his family, including his legal team. They are threatening to kill them, hunt them down. Because vigilante justice is exactly what we have in this country from the left. Even the president of the United States of America getting in on it, saying, well, I'm having a hard time with this verdict. Now, you got to understand why he said that, because he understands the politics, folks. He understands the politics big time. He understands that dividing the country solely based on race is good for him. It's a way to solidify and secure your base. In fact, there are still media organizations that are still out there putting lies out about Nick Sandman, all in this case, all over the world, saying that he shot three black men when in fact he shot three white men. Acting like it was a racial shooting when it happened, even though it wasn't. There was no race involved. There was protests over the weekend, which is hysterical, that Black Lives Matter is having protests over a shooting that only involved white people. You can't make that up. You have people that are angry, people that are furious, that Nick Sandman is walking, and they want him dead. His attorneys even said that during a press conference, saying, can't even answer their phones anymore because they're getting so many death threats. You look at Kyle Rittenhouse and his attorneys and what they had to say about this, and you listen to what they had to say about it, and he talked about it. It's disgusting. Even his wife, from what we've been told, Kyle Rittenhouse's defense attorney saying even his wife is getting death threats because the left is psychotic.
Judge protected his address. Everybody in this case, and when I say that, I mean prosecution, defense. To me, it's scary how many death threats we've had. You know, I was answering my phone on the way back from court in Kenosha. My office isn't that far. After the third death threat, I quit answering the phone.
And Mark, what do you say to people who make
Let me just stop there. You know, can't even count the number of death threats, and that's an attorney. Because the anarchists of the left, they refuse to accept. They refuse to accept that there are people that have a right to protect and defend themselves when people are attacking them. Armed Black Lives Matter protesters, by the way, this weekend joined Socialist Rally for Justice in Kenosha. Not a joke. A group of people armed with pistols and semi-automatic rifles joined a socialist group march in Kenosha, Wisconsin on Sunday. The protesters called for justice after a jury acquitted Kyle Rittenhouse on all charges Friday. The group of about 50 gathered outside the courthouse on Sunday to march against what they called an injustice in the decision by a jury to find Kyle Rittenhouse not guilty on all charges. And you know what? You basically should have added every liberal Democrat to the group, because they're all in on it too. The group gathered around the banner of the Party for Socialists and Liberation, had Workers Unite Against Fascism signs up. The whole system is guilty. Rittenhouse walks free. Justice system is nothing but a protection for fascist killers, another one of their socialist signs said. Joining the group were armed individuals who said they were from Chicago. The group appeared to have crossed state lines to march with two semi-automatic rifles and multiple handguns. Think the media is going to freak out about that? Nope. One of the armed protesters, Eric Jordan, came to the rally with his 16-year-old daughter, Jade. Both came to protest armed with semi-automatic rifles. Eric also openly carried a pistol. Think the media is going to lose their mind? Nope, because they're socialists. And when you're socialist, you're one of us, so we will look the other way. Eric Jordan told Breitbart News he came to provide security for the planned march in Kenosha. When asked if he expected resistance, Jordan responded saying, "Just be careful. We need everybody to go home safe." His daughter Jade expressed disappointment in the not guilty verdict handed to Rittenhouse on Friday. Quote, "I was disappointed at the very least," as she holds her AR-15. "That means he can still legally be able to get a gun." Wow. The ironic part about these woke liberals, both rifles displayed orange empty chamber indicators to show they did not have a round chambered in the rifle. So what's the point of having the gun then? Just asking for a bunch of normal people. Tucker Carlson getting this first interview. But he brought up a very important point on his show after the verdict came in, and that is the left refuses to accept the fact that the justice system worked and they still want Kyle Rittenhouse. They want him dead. They want him dead. That's what they want.
So technically, as a legal matter, this case is over. Kyle Rittenhouse has been proclaimed innocent in a court of law. He's free to resume his life. But for the authoritarians among us, this is a disaster. They can't let it go. Why? Because they understand the Rittenhouse case is a referendum on the most basic right of all, the ancient right of self-defense. If Kyle Rittenhouse can save his own life from the mob, then you can too. And that drives them insane. So insane that the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee today, Jerry Nadler of New York, implied that Kyle Rittenhouse may face federal charges. Today's verdict, Nadler wrote, justifies federal review by the DOJ. So will Joe Biden's Justice Department indict Kyle Rittenhouse now that he's been acquitted by a jury in Wisconsin? It's hard to believe. You'd have to be deranged even to consider something like that. What would be the effect on the country? But you never know with these people. At the very least, this case will be used to justify taking your guns away. Bet on it. But if this does go to the feds, if Kyle Rittenhouse is prosecuted by the DOJ, the case will likely be handled by Kristen Clark. She's the black nationalist who runs the so-called Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department, the division that does not protect your civil rights, in fact, is trying to take them away. Last year, Clark weighed in on the Rittenhouse case and immediately, not surprisingly, zeroed in on Rittenhouse's color.
I want you to think about what he's talking about here. You have a woman who's in the Justice Department that was obsessed with race and the color of the skin of Rittenhouse, something she should never, ever mention. But when you're a woke extremist in the Biden administration, this is what you do, and apparently it's very normal. Now, thank goodness we have a judicial system in this country that could see through the propaganda of the media. Thank goodness that we have a system that refused to be or go with the insanity of the media. Now, Rittenhouse, he needs to sue. Rittenhouse needs to sue and sue for every dollar he can get his hands on. And the media and this president who refused to accept the reality of the situation, they deserve to be held accountable for this. Now, I hope that Rittenhouse gets millions and hundreds of millions. But I also be smart about this, and he starts suing and going to court, not taking the settlements from some of these people that came after him. Now, I will remind you of what the media had to say about him. They were pure evil. and they made it all up, and they lied about him from day one when this happened back in August. And if you don't remember what they said, every single one of the people I'm going to play for you in the media that I'm about to play for you right now deserves to lose their jobs. They deserve to be sued. The networks that they were with deserve to be sued because they wanted to destroy this kid's life and are still trying to destroy his life. Even the President of the United States of America getting in on it. Why? Because they want to divide the country based on race.
Kenosha shooter Kyle Rittenhouse, he murdered two people, by the way.
Rittenhouse is basically what you would have had in a school shooter. He's a 17-year-old kid. He shouldn't have had a gun. He crossed state lines to supposedly protect property. No, he was going out to shoot people.
Kyle Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old vigilante.
Kyle Rittenhouse, the vigilante.
Kyle Rittenhouse, the armed teenage vigilante.
A 17-year-old vigilante, arguably a domestic terrorist, picked up a rifle, drove to a different state to shoot people.
Kyle Rittenhouse, a guy who's deeply racist, went with weapons to a Black Lives Matter protest looking to get in trouble. He did. He murdered a couple of people.
Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old kid, just running around, shooting and killing protesters.
You see, the 17-year-old who was radicalized by Trumpism took his AR-15 to Kenosha and became a killer.
A white, Trump-supporting, MAGA-loving, Blue Lives Matter social media partisan, 17 years old, picks up a gun, drives from one state to another with the intent to shoot people.
A 17-year-old boy who drove across state lines with an AR-15 and started shooting people up, including a guy with a skateboard.
Kyle Rittenhouse, who has killed protesters, unarmed protesters.
Rittenhouse, a 17-year-old that went with a weapon into the middle of protests and then provoked people and then shot and killed them.
Kyle Rittenhouse is the enemy.
A boy from out of state drives up to the state with an AR-15 around his neck, shoots and kills a couple of people. Shooting wildly, running around, acting like rent-a-cop.
Drove across state lines armed with a rifle to go and shoot people.
What a dark, dystopian scene where a 17-year-old boy is carrying around a rifle, running around and gunning down protesters.
Every one of them deserves to not only lose their job, but they deserve to have to pay millions of dollars. Now, I remind you, Nick Sandman, that kid that was wrongfully accused of being this evil racist Trump supporter while the Native American was banging a drum in his face. Remember that? He got over $250 million. But they never went to court. And if I'm Sandman, I'm telling you right now, I hope his legal team says, all right, some of them were just going to take their money, all right? Some of them, not all of them, but some of them. We're going to get you paid quick. But there's going to be others. There's going to be others that we are going to absolutely own them and take them to court and make them defend themselves and what they did. And I think that is a long overdue proposition at this point. Now, you may disagree, but I think that's exactly what he should do. In fact, that's exactly what Tucker Carlson was talking about in his monologue. There are people that refuse to accept what a court has said, and they refuse to accept that he was defending and protecting himself because they need him to be guilty.
Like his race was some kind of crime. She described him as a, quote, armed white man murdering innocent protesters at, quote, point-blank range.
He's talking about the woman who is in charge of the Civil Rights Division at the Justice Department that may do double jeopardy now and charge him with federal crimes. This is a woman that was obsessed and actually said this about Sandman. So now that we find out that Jerry Nadler and others said, no, the Justice Department, you need to go after Sam, you need to go after Rittenhouse again. This is what they were saying about Rittenhouse. If I said Sandman by accident, I'm sorry. I apologize. But this is what they're saying about Rittenhouse.
What does his race have to do with anything? Well, it doesn't have anything to do with anything, of course, but it's been a fixation of the Democratic Party from the first moments. They've tried to racialize this case. And by the way, Kristen Clark is far from the only member of the party to try and do that. Just hours after the jury's verdict, the chairman of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, Sean Patrick Maloney, a congressman, released this statement, quote, "It is disgusting and disturbing that someone was able to carry a loaded assault rifle into a protest against the unjust killing of Jacob Blake, an unarmed black man," end quote. Savor that for a minute. That's from the head of the Democratic Party's congressional campaign arm. Everything about it is wrong. Not just a lie, but factually untrue. Jacob Blake was not killed. He was also not unarmed. He was carrying a knife. We know that because he said he was carrying a knife. He was allegedly trying to kidnap a child. That's why the police showed up. And when he grabbed a knife, they shot him. Again, that's not in dispute. And he's still alive. But it doesn't matter because these people, facts don't matter, clearly. Sean Patrick Maloney has no interest in what actually happened. Kamala Harris said that she was proud of Jacob Blake last year. The Democratic Party is sticking with that, too. They are trying, and they have from the very beginning, to make this case into a racial divide, to further divide the country. Kamala Harris today said that the outcome of this case, the jury's verdict, was proof that our judicial system is not, quote, equitable, whatever that means. It needs to be changed. The Attorney General of the state of New York said it needs to be completely torn down and rebuilt, our justice system that we've had for 250 years. It's the best thing in our country. The idea that you are tried on the basis of the facts, not on the basis of what you look like. But they'd like to change that. ABC News, by the way, just reported the same thing. They told us, ABC News, a news corporation, has told us that, in fact, Jacob Blake was killed in Kenosha. Watch this.
Well, it's very significant. First, for the community of Kenosha, this city was traumatized by the police killing of a black man, Jacob Blake.
The police killing of a black man who is, in fact, still alive. So what are they doing when they tell lies like this? Lies that you can check very easily, or if you have a memory that extends into last year, you recall very well. Well, they're inciting people, of course. They're trying to whip people into a frenzy on the basis of claims that are totally provably untrue. What kind of a frenzy? Well, consider this. This is from a senior advisor at the DCCC, the Democratic campaign arm. His name is Daiwan Tatro. He just issued an explicit call for riots. No justice, no peace, he wrote in the wake of the verdict. Who is Daiwan Tatro? Well, he, according to news reports, spent a decade in prison after he shot two people. Now he works for the Democratic Party, just in case you're interested in whose side they're on. But you knew that. Meanwhile, a spokesperson for Congressman Val Demings, another Democrat, offered this assessment. The core of the far-right movement is that they should be able to kill you if they want to. That's the official line of the Democratic Party tonight. Keep in mind, and if you watch the trial, you know this, Kyle Rittenhouse was walking down the street when he was charged by a convicted child rapist and then charged by a number of other people. He sought no conflict. There was never any evidence that he was the aggressor in any case. He was aggressed against. So Joe Biden also weighed in on this, and he gave two versions of his views on it. First, he said, we're going to respect the jury's verdict. And then, of course, when his advisors took over and wrote a new press statement, he told us how upset he was by the verdict. And that's what aired on MSNBC all day.
The next time there's a protest of some sort, and it may get politicized, that gun owners with a certain ideology may feel incentivized now, may feel even emboldened.
What some may take from this verdict is that vigilante justice prevailed.
Knowing the history of vigilante justice in this country, all the way back to times of enslavement, when people would be deputized to go out and track down enslaved persons who ran away, to lynching mobs, and this is 2021.
It is to tell the current and future Kyle Rittenhouses of the world that they can engage in white vigilantism and be let off for it, be defended and protected for perpetuating white supremacy.
You notice the obsession here with the media. You understand it from the White House down. This is part of the midterms, get everybody divided, get everybody angry. Tell everybody that a white guy killed black people when he didn't. Tell people that the protesters were justified in being there because of the killing of a black man, which also didn't happen. Multiple networks lying about that. They're going to correct the record? Of course not. And they're willing to sacrifice a 17-year-old child, take away his entire life, and put him on a hit list for the rest of his life just because they want to divide the country and win elections. That's pure evil. In this country, you are supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. What we now know in this country, though, when it comes to people like the President of the United States of America, Joe Biden, that you are no longer afforded that. No. You are guilty until proven innocent. There are people angry today because there was a picture of Kyle Rittenhouse eating with his family at a restaurant in Florida after he apparently did his interview with Tucker Carlson, and people were tagging the picture saying, look at this murderer. Everybody that's doing that, I hope you get sued. I really do. All these people in the media who are attacking and saying these horrific things about Kyle Rittenhouse, again, I hope that you get sued. The President of the United States of America saying what he said, I hope you get sued. You listen to even the media after the fact. And they just want to divide the country, and they want there to be a race war, and they want there to be a race war because this is all they have right now in this country, is that they can just divide the country 50-50 and get people to not realize what's happening in the economy, not what's happening with inflation, not look at the gas pump, but be screaming at minorities saying, you have to vote for me because the other side wants to kill you. Rittenhouse is one of them. You don't want them to be in charge of this country. That's the only card they have to play. And it's very clear that the media is colluding with Biden, with the Democrats, to try to make sure that this country stays divided, even if they have to lie about it.
Next time there's a protest of some sort, and it may get politicized, that gun owners with a certain ideology may feel incentivized now, may feel even emboldened.
What some may take from this verdict is that vigilante justice prevailed.
Knowing the history of vigilante justice in this country, all the way back to times of enslavement, when people would be deputized to go out and track down enslaved persons who ran away, to lynching mobs, and this is 2021.
It is to tell the current and future Kyle Rittenhouses of the world that they can engage in white vigilantism and be let off for it, be defended and protected for perpetuating white supremacy.
Wow.
White vigilantism, white supremacy, white. That was all over media all day long. Explicit racial attacks.
You want to know why they're doing this? The reason why is because they want to indict all of us. They're just waiting for the next white guy to defend and protect themselves from the mob. What we've learned from this is, if you're a white person and they can turn you into a Trump supporter or a conservative, they will burn you at the stake, even if you're protecting yourself or your business or your family. This is no different than what happened when that husband and wife went out on their private property when Black Lives Matter protesters started marching on their street with their guns. And what did they do? You had a overzealous DA that charged them with criminal, with crimes. Tried to turn into federal crimes. Remember everybody that freaked out over those that couple? Because they were on their own front porch with their firearms, because there was a bunch of people that were on their private property, which you have a right to protect and defend your private property. Doesn't matter. They're evil, rich, white people. Let's burn them at the stake. They're not going to stop this, by the way. And when the next election happens, I hope people remember this. Because when you give people like this power, they abuse it every time. And if that means they have to ruin people's lives, they will do it. They don't care if you're a child. They don't care if you're an adult. They don't care if you're a senior citizen. They don't care if you're a single mom. They don't care. I hope every one of you will take the audio that I just played for you, and I hope you share it. I hope you share a podcast. I hope you let everybody hear what the media is doing, even after he was found innocent. No, they're not going to stop, folks. And they're not even worried about losing money. It's almost like they're okay paying millions of dollars in fees just so they can keep the race war alive, because that's the only way that they can take over this country is if they do it this way. They're not afraid of paying out huge settlements to Rittenhouse because they want to destroy his life and everybody else's life. Even if they have to say they're wrong with money, they'll still say they're right on TV. It's pure evil, and everybody better pay attention. Download our podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. We're going to continue to cover this all week long. And if you haven't listened to our podcast, grab it. It's the Ben Ferguson Podcast. Like I said, wherever you get your podcasts, grab it. You can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Parler, Instagram. I'm on them all. Getter, find us there. Ben Ferguson Podcast on all of those places. And I'll keep up with you all week long.